Spirit rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, let's sing in our church. Stand to your feet. Again, Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit. Change our heart as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit, rain down.
Fall, let your voice be heard.
Come and change
our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit.
Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord once again. Play some more of that, guys. with all your heart. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. Oh, Comforter and Friend. How we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down.
Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down.
Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a minute while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Sister Sherry Wiggins says, please remember me in prayer. I will be having my second surgery this coming Friday. I also want to thank you all for your continued prayers. Many have expressed their love and support through this health trial. I can never express how much I appreciate it. God bless you all. So we just pray for Sister Sherry that the Lord would just be with her during this time. I know he's more than able. Sister Barron says to please pray for Brother Russell McKitty. He's paralyzed on his right side, unable to eat. He is in rehab, so let's remember him in prayer tonight as we pray. Brother Bobby Hayden says he has an unspoken prayer request for his Aunt Katie, so let's remember that tonight as we pray. Brother Orville Reeves was able to get his water leaks fixed, and he wants to praise the Lord just for helping him during that time. Brother Amos says, please remember Brother Bruce and Sister Tina Hackett, who both have medical issues. Also, please remember a teenager by the name of Jerome who is working this summer many miles from his home. They're asking that we would remember him in prayer. Sister Jewel Hubbard says to please pray for my sister Helen Garland, who is having serious health problems. Also pray for her son Danny Garland, who has cancer, so we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Linda Kennedy says to please pray for my sister Faye West. She went to the doctor and they told her that her spleen and liver are enlarged, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, you believe God's bigger? You believe God's greater? You believe he's able to answer your prayer? Let's stand to our feet tonight, if you will. Brother Philip, why don't you come tonight, if you would, lead us to the Lord. Let's invite his presence into this service tonight. I know we're going to have a great jubilee here tonight. You believe that with all your heart? Let's ask him to have his will on these requests. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Would all bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, I stand here grateful to be back in church, Lord God. I've had to miss so much for work, Lord, and I appreciate your help with letting me be here tonight among my brothers and sisters. And Lord, there's some overwhelming things going on, Lord, in our lives, and we see all the things that go on, all the sicknesses and all the trials that we face, Lord, these times. Lord, they can be a little overwhelming, Lord God, but we know who to turn to, Lord. We always have your ear, Lord God. You're always available no matter what time of the day, and we're ever grateful for that, Father God. Lord, these needs from my brothers and sisters, Lord God, they're putting their faith and their trust in you, Lord. And we're uniting in our faith together tonight, Lord, as brothers and sisters coming before our Father, trusting, Lord, that every need will be met, Lord God. And whether you heal us on this side or the next, Lord God, we're not going to lose, Lord. We're going to have a testimony from you, or we're going to lose a brother and a sister, Lord, and they're going to go to where we can only imagine, Lord God, something we've never seen before, Lord. And we're waiting for that day, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, you'd help tonight. Be with us in this service, Lord. I pray you would show up, Lord God. You're the most important thing. You're the only reason we come here, Lord. And I pray you'd be amongst us tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing this little song tonight. I've never been this homesick before. How about you? Are you getting homesick? Heard a little story today. I just take this second to share it with you. This happened many, many, many years ago. A little 15-year-old girl was swimming a 15-mile endurance race. And 15 miles in the water, you can only imagine how tiring that would be. And her mother was beside her in a boat, and she was encouraging her daughter, "You can make it. You can do this. You can do this." And she kept getting tireder. She kept getting tired. Finally, she just had to get in the boat. She said, "I just can't make it. I just can't make it." And they went on into the shore, and come to find out, Brother Terry, she was only 1.5 mile from the shore. And her remarks was this: "All I could see was the fog. Had I been able to see the shore, I would have made it." I'll tell you this tonight, if you're just seeing fog, look past the fog. The homeland's in sight. Your eternal destination is just around the bend. Do you believe that with all your heart? You're closer now than you've ever been. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Sing it, buddy.
There's a light in the window. The table spread in splendor. Someone standing by an open door. I can see a crystal river. Oh, I must be near forever. And I've never been this homesick.
I want you to sing about it, church. Bright lights shine. It's just about old time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door.
This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance.
Oh, Lord, I've never been this home.
I can see the family gathering. Sweet faces look familiar.
him a big hand clap of praise. Thank you, Father. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, it's the truth. Ready or not, he's coming back. How many of you want to be ready? He's coming as a thief in the night. A thief has got good tactics. They come when everybody's asleep most of the time, or the house is empty and everybody's bedded down. And Jesus is coming back as a thief in the night. I want to be a child of light, not a child of darkness. How about you? Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. Somebody say, it's the truth. He is coming back. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We have a couple of songs. Sister Jessica Benton, if you would come to the platform, be getting ready. Brother John Cogman is here tonight. Am I seeing right? Yeah, he is. If you want to come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing after Sister Jessica. We'll go right on into the service tonight. We've got time. Brother Harry's going to give us a song. Praise the Lord. We got some good singers here. We appreciate every one of them, don't we? Give them all a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go you've not already stood. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. trust in you.
I hope you'll forgive me. I'm going to try a new song tonight. And Brother Donnie was preaching a while back on sevens, and I got to reading about that. And well, there's a lot of those in the Bible. It's a preferred number, as theologians might say. And so a lot of number sevens that surround this message as well. And so I kind of put it together, and I know I'm going to mess it up, but I really wanted to try it tonight. This is the first time we've been able to be here in about a month and a half, and we'd be on the road from here for a little bit, so I want to try this out. Seven stood in the dark with Noah. For 7 days the doors stood shut. The seventh son from Adam rose before the rains came down. And there were seven pairs of all clean beasts. And 7 days between the doves. Seven colors wrote God's promise when the sun shone down. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mysteries of God were finished and Christ came down. In a vision, John saw seven candles, seven stars in the Savior's hand, seven spirits before the throne when the Lamb stepped down. There were seven letters to seven churches, seven prophecies declared the end. Seven angels would bear the message that John wrote down. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God was finished and Christ came down. And there were seven angels over Arizona, seven ages coming to an end. Seven seals were loosed and broken when the sword came down. And it went seven times around the world. The seventh trumpet began to sound. Seven thunders began to utter when the word came down. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God was finished and Christ came down. The Lamb of God stepped from his throne with seven eyes and seven horns. The angel declared time should be no more. As John saw a woman clothed in red, in seven hills she made her bed. Seven kingdoms rose and fell before. As the Antichrist began to rise, seven plagues fell from the skies, seven vials of famine, death, and war. Then the word of God began to write 7 words upon his thigh. King of kings and Lord of lords. And in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God was finished. Choosing a bride without spot or blemish, she rose to join him on his throne. The 7th day began to dawn when Christ came down.
Nobody wants to follow that. That's awesome, Brother John. I'm sure that didn't come from Appy State. But I know where it come from. I'm glad to be part of this message. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm glad I'm identified. The other day I was driving down the road and somebody had called me and we was talking about, not about a brother, but a brother that had, him and his family left a message. And after we got off the phone, I was just thinking and praying for him and them. And it's like a voice said in my heart, "Do you want to go too?" Just that thought made a tear come in my eye. I said, "Lord, where would I go? There's no place else I want to go to." And I started singing this song. If somebody would have passed by me, they probably thought I was crazy because singing and crying. And I'm sure you know the song. If you feel this way, you sing it with me. D, brothers. I'm a prisoner of love. You see, I'm a slave to the Master. I willingly toil through the heat and the cold. I seek no reward. My payday will come. Oh, it will come when the pearly gates unfold. When I came to Jesus, I settled it all. I gave him my life to control. Neither fear nor persuasion could draw me to Christ, but his love has captured my soul. I'm a prisoner of love. I am a slave to my master. I willingly toil. I willingly toil through the heat and the cold. I seek no reward. My payday will come. Oh, it will come when the pearly gates unfold.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. How many wants to be that to him? Yes. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 32, if you would, tonight. Verse 25. We want to speak again tonight about the lives of the prophets.
Amen.
We'll have to look at Moses. Exodus chapter 32, verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother." Now, would you consider a man like this having any love at all? Can this be love? How could it be? You're murdering people. Wow, y'all are quiet. Now, you've got one man's word for this, that the Lord told him that. How could we prove it? Totally impossible. We'll have to base it upon his credibility as a prophet of God that is truly led of the Lord. Now, we would have been there that day as Levites. Could we have done this on this man's reputation? Something to think about, isn't it? Put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. So you're going to kill people because a man tells you to do it. Well, let's bow our heads and we'll dismiss, I guess. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. So you're killing your own? You're killing your own people. And you're doing this because God said so? For Moses had said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." You gotta be kidding me. God is gonna bless you because you're drawing your sword and cutting your brother's head off? To be honest with you, I'm not sure I want them kind of blessings. I get them all the time, but you don't find too many folks standing in line for this kind of blessing, do you? Oh my. This is wonderful. This is the word of God, friends. It has to be wonderful. Now, I know the end of it. Of course, you don't. So you're just standing there thinking, "Oh, my Lord, where are we going tonight?" Right in the pages of the Bible, I promise you. Let's bow our heads together, if you would, and let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your grace and your mercy to us. And truly, Lord, as the song was being sung, I thought how fitting for us to be a slave to the Master, to do what the Master wants us to do and say. It takes a great commitment, Father. It takes a great commitment. It's not hard when everybody's aboard the bandwagon and everybody's cheering you on. But Lord, whenever the world's against us and we're in the minority, and then to be able to stand for the truth gallantly, that really takes something. But we know that you'll anoint your people around the world to do so. Speak to us tonight from the Word of God, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's look again now at verse 26, if you will. Let's break these down if we can. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." Now, this is quite bold, isn't it? For a man to say, "Now, if you're on God's side, you'll come over here and stand right here by me. And if you're not on God's side, then you won't come stand by me." Now, first of all, it lets us know that there was more than one side in this situation.
So there was another side. We can call it a move, if you will. Now, there's another move that is still lingering among the camp. Now, remember, all these are Israelites, or at least people who's come out and accepted the teaching, supposedly, of Moses. So they've come out of the land of Egypt, and they are supposedly believing what Moses has said. But there is a side that is still being carried away in the idolatry of the golden calf. Now, many of them have stopped. Moses has come down, threw down the tables. My goodness, his anger, he's so upset and so, my, just perturbed by what he's seeing. And now, that scared many of them, no doubt. Many of them saw, oh, we've done terrible, we've done awful. We've done awful things, we should have never done this. But part of them are still ongoing. So there is a division in the camp. And this is why Moses said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come over here. Because part of them were still going on in their idolatry. And you see, whenever we're going to really be on the Lord's side, the Lord always requires a separation from unbelief. He requires a separation from a sinful life and the type of things that we used to do and the type of music that we used to listen to, right? Now, that's initially when we come to Him. But as we go on with God, He's still requiring a separation until finally it will be a separation from mortal to immortality. So here now, they are not separating out of Egypt. They are not separating from the Assyrians or the Babylonians or none of them. But they are separating from people who say they believe the same thing. But they have pulled away into idol worship. And they're refusing now to be identified with the prophet's message as the prophet's message goes on. Now, they followed it up to this far, and they become weary of Moses. He's not been there. Pillar of fire's not there. Cloud's not there. They've seen nothing visible of the presence of God. So this is why they ask Aaron to make them a calf that they can worship. Now, notice, as we as the people of God, if we're going to be on the Lord's side, we've got to be on the side of truth. Amen. We've got to be on the side of character, on the side of integrity. The Holy Ghost will never lead you and I away from one principle of the Scripture. The Holy Ghost will never lead us away from anything of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Brother Bram never come to lead us away from our Bibles, but actually to lead us to a greater understanding of the Bible, the same Bible that we've had all of our life. Now, the Lord's friends must do what the Lord requires. Now, what the Lord requires is not always what the Lord's friends will want to do. It may not necessarily be their first choice or what they would choose to do, but if they're on the Lord's side, they will forego their opinion. They will forego what they think. They may look at a situation and they look at, oh my, you know, I don't think this would be the best to do this or this or this. But yet, if they see it in the Word and God is pressing upon them to do it, they will forego. They'll forego the feelings of their family, the feelings of their wife, their children, whoever more, because they want to be on the Lord's side. Now, and their allegiance to be on the Lord's side, it must be an open allegiance. The Lord will never allow one member of the bride to be secret bride. You can't be secret bride and stand for truth and be hid in some denomination or something somewhere or standing. You must come open and say, I'm not ashamed to be identified with the gospel of Christ. Right. They must be willing to be in the minority. They must be willing to be refused. They must be willing to be rejected. And they must be willing to be aggressive when the situation requires it. Exactly right. They must be willing also to be on the side of holiness, because God is not a worldly God. Our God is not worldly, never has been, and never will be. So the Lord's holiness will always conflict with sin. Now, when I talk about sin, I'm not talking about drinking, smoking, all that, but sin is unbelief. So the Lord's holiness will conflict with sin within our own flesh. So if our flesh pulls toward anything of the world, the Lord's holiness on the throne of our heart will conflict with anything that will go opposite opposite in this body right here. So being on the Lord's side sometimes is knowing which man to stand with. Now, apparently, there were other men that were saying other things. Now, when the Levites, which were no doubt many of them, were just as guilty as the rest of the children of Israel. Because the Bible does not make a note that the Levites had not been involved in this, but Aaron the priest, the main Levite, he was the one who made the golden calf. So it does not say that the Levites were totally innocent, but apparently the Levites were the ones that were willing and able to repent of their wrong and want to make that wrong right and be of service to the kingdom of God. You see, the real thing is, friends, it's not that God is looking for a person that has never made a mistake. God ain't no fool. God knows there's never been a human being other than Jesus Christ that never made any mistakes, but God wants people that are willing, men, women, boys, and girls enough to be able to, if they make mistakes and do wrong, that they can say, you know what, I'm wrong, I was wrong, I'll make it right. Exactly right. Now, the Levites were apparently on this side. Now, notice in verse 26, and Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Now, let me say it this way. If you are under the Lord's side, under the illumination of the light of this day, you will stand with the prophet of God of Malachi 4. And if you're against it, well, you've told us what side you're on. So there had to be at least two sides that was prevalent in this situation that we see. But you see, I want to ask you this question. What could those that were on the other side of this dilemma that was going on, what could they have given the children of Israel? Now, to say that they were heads and they were leaders among the people and there were people that got influence among them or whatever more, and that was another side. Or Moses would have never said who's on the Lord's side. He just said we're all on the same side. So what could the people on the other side of this situation give to their constituents or those that were following them? Could they have given them a vindicated prophet of God? Absolutely not. Did they have 10 commandments to give to them? Did they have a pillar of fire? You answer me. Did they have a cloud? Did they have a thus saith the Lord from God that I've called this man, that man, that man, that man, that man, and you follow them? So what could they have given them? Well, why were they following them? Because sheep have the potential to be caught in such places sometimes. Right. Well, it's the truth. Could these people on this other side produce a new land? They had no land to give them. They didn't know where it was even at. What could they have given them? Idol worship. Licentious, lewd, all type of worldly types of things. That's what they were doing. That's what they were leading them to. Oh my. But you see, whenever the Levites were willing to admit that they were wrong, and they were wrong, there's no question about that. Many of these men were just as wrong as in the rest of them. But they were prompted by the word from the prophet of God. Whoever's on the Lord's side, a person cannot believe that the Levites came because Moses was from the same tribe. I believe there was something there that God would have never committed the charge into the hands of these men had it been just a personal flesh tied to Moses that they would have done it. God don't commit his word to such men to charge. And hack and carry on anyway. Now watch this in verse 27. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side. Now I want to tell you, friends, it is not always easy being on the Lord's side. It is not easy when you have to preach things that you know are going to make people mad. It's not easy when I have to rebuke people. It's not easy for any of us to call out sin. Did you parents find it easy to correct your children? Did you enjoy it? Did you laugh about it? Of course not. Broke your heart to have to do it. So, it offended my child when I whipped him. So you're going to apologize for every time you whipped him? I'm not going to apologize for every time I've whipped you. I'm not going to apologize for the word. No. Now, if I do anything wrong, that's one thing. But if I do, show me by the Word. Well, it hurt my feelings. I'm sorry. I am not apologizing for something the Word says. If I do something wrong, if we do something wrong one to another, we should apologize if it is wrong by the Word. Not wrong by your opinion, not wrong by my opinion, but wrong by the Word. Right? Now, being on the Lord's side is painful to those who are actually on the Lord's side. I can imagine what these guys must have felt like. Now notice how Moses gives them this instruction. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp. Now notice what they're doing. They're going in and out. What are they looking for? Now if only 3,000 people are killed, and there's 2.5 million or whatever there is out there, what was it that was the determining factor? Why was not everybody killed? Because apparently some had repented and they were standing there, and when the sword come their way, the tears of repentance running down their cheeks, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. The sword could not slay them. But there were others that were going right on in their stubbornness and their idolatry. Oh my. Lord, help us. Now notice, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put on every man his sword by his side, go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother. Now, could you have done this if it had been your flesh brother? Just your brother Israelite would have been hard enough. What if it had been an uncle? A father, a grandfather, and he's still worshiping the calf in his heart now. It's done ground to powder. This is done after the fact that the calf has been ground to powder and they've been made to drink it. But this idolatry is still going on among them, and they're rebelling because they've refused to come clean from this filth and nonsense of what Aaron has done. So they're still doing something, and the Levites aren't going so much by vision, you know, going there and there, but there's still something visible among the congregation of Israel, and they're seeing it, and they are blatant with it. They are open, they're not hiding it, they're letting everybody know, I don't care what Moses said, I don't care what God said, I don't care what the Levites said, I'm going to do this and that and the other. And when the swords come, it's easy to tell which one is which. Oh my. Notice what he does now. Moses gives the separation order. That can be hard. Now he gives the slaying order. And slay every man his brother. Brother, sister, I don't mind telling you, this order chokes carnal church people to death. They can't handle it. Even a lot of message folks can't handle it. Put every man's sword by his side and slay. Oh my. Slay his brother. Whoever's still doing this, whoever's still carrying on this way, kill him. I don't care if it's your brother, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle, kill him. And we've got one man's word for this. So you are a murderer. You are a murderer based upon this one man's word. Well, if it is this one man's word, you are a murderer. But if it's God's word through this man's lips, you are a justifier. You are carrying out God's judgment, and you are not a murderer. Now in the court of the law of the Assyrians, of the Babylonians, the Egyptians, you might be guilty of murder, but not in God's law. In God's law, you're doing exactly what God said. Is that right? You see, this is a part of preaching that people don't understand. That when a man preaches straight and a man has to really lay the word of God up, people, oh, what the matter? He rebuked. That's what the Bible tells me to do. Reprove, rebuke. That's what the Bible tells every preacher to do. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Is that right, brothers? That's what the Bible says. But do people want that? Absolutely not. It offends them. They do not want it. But if you don't do it, you're disobeying the word. If you do do it, you make people mad. And you know what? I don't want to hurt y'all's feelings, but I'd rather make you mad than him mad. And look, friends, don't look for me to start apologizing, because when I rebuke you, it hurts your feelings. Don't expect me to apologize to you for rebuking you when you're wrong. If I do, I'm apologizing for what the Word says. Well, glory. Now, you're talking about amazing now that these brothers go through and they start killing people. And one of the main ones that was guilty of so much of this, God spares him. Aaron. Let me read to you why. And the Lord, Deuteronomy 9:20, the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron. Glory to God. So here stands a prophet of God. Don't you know, just by God looking at the situation and saying, you're more to blame than any of them. If you had not have done this, you might have stopped this, Aaron. If you would have said, no, this is not right, I refuse to do it, I'm not going to do it. And God would have destroyed Aaron. But the intercessor stepped in his place. The mediator, hallelujah, the mediator stepped up in his place. My, isn't it amazing? The same man that rebuked him. Don't you understand? The same offices that God uses to rebuke you when you're wrong may be the same offices that God uses you, oh my, uses to pull you out of the hell that you're in. The same pastor that will rebuke you or correct you by the word of God is the very same one that will preach you into a body change. But if you can't take the rebuke, it proves you're not worthy of the body change. Mm. Oh my. Now, let's do a little something here. I thought I was ready to bring this today, but I got to thinking and praying this evening. I wanted to do a little something here with this passage. Let's retell this story. And we'll start in chapter 32, verse 1. But what we want to do is leave out just a few words here and there, and maybe a couple of verses here and there. And we will tell it in the way that sometimes we hear things told to us. And in the way that some of the folks that are leaving the message, in the way that they're trying to project Brother Branham and the message and a lot of the facts. Praise the Lord. Now watch, Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Now I'm just going to conveniently leave out a few words. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Now, get in your mind, if you did not know that there was verses or a few words left out of this verse, you're going to form a complete different opinion about this story. Now I'm going to work with your mind. I'm going to mess with it a little bit. And I'm going to do it intentionally. Now watch this in verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which are in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. Now to skip verse 4 and 5. And we'll scrunch verse 3 up to verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now so far we have nothing wrong that the people have done. You see, this is where we get in real serious trouble as human beings. Whenever a man and his wife are having issues, and you know, if you're not careful, you sisters, you hear the wife's side of the story and you form an opinion against that man and you'll judge that situation, or your brothers might do the same thing toward the sister. As a pastor, I know, sitting and meeting with people, if I listen to the sister first or the brother first or whatever, and then I listen to the other one separate, I get a total different view and perspective of the exact same thing, because each of them are telling it from their perspective itself. Now, if I would have made my judgment upon the matter based upon one side of the story, I would have made a horrible decision. And I would have rendered a horrible judgment. So now let's take this story the way many of us hear so-called truths when people are telling us things. We'll just leave out things. Leave out a few words and leave out a few verses, because, you know, we don't want to tell everything about us. So now watch. We will leave out, let's read from verse 3 now. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. Now let's just, I can't remember exactly how verse 4 and 5, how it was said, but let's just, we'll leave out for 4 and 5 since I can't remember exactly. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. What do you see horrible so far? What? Nothing? But why is it that y'all are looking at me bug-eyed? Because you all know the rest of this story. But now if you didn't know this story, and someone presented you this much truth, and we're hearing more truth, way more truth than what I'm leaving out, but the parts I'm leaving out are so vital. Don't you understand? This is what raises up questions in the minds of people. Well, I don't understand about the bridge, and I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Well, don't you know the devil knows how people are as human beings? So you raise up a question that people can't answer, and then it plops there in their mind. They'd be, oh, well, what about this? And what about that? What about some? See, this is the truth. This is the truth. Sure. Just like I'm reading you truth. Am I saying a lie? I'm not. But I'm leaving out some things. Now let's leave out verse 7 and 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Oh my. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and consume them? Listen how much truth I'm giving you. You know what? If we're not careful, when we read down to you, when I get done with this, if you're not real careful, if you didn't know the truth, you'd think Aaron, Moses, and God was the main problems in this whole scene. Because of the way I put truth together and left out this and this and this and this, which would have totally changed your view of the whole thing. That's been a long, long time ago since I even looked at any of these trash sites where they're attacking the message, but probably a year or more, something like that. But I thought I'd look at some of them, and I began to look at some of the things they raised up. And what I found immediately was, whenever I began to do a broader search of the questions that they had, I found answer after answer after answer after answer. And no doubt they found the same thing, since it was under the same word search. But they conveniently left it out, so it would not appear like that there was an answer. Make Brother Bram look like a false prophet or a devil or whatever more. Don't you see? Now you present it in such a way. Well, William Branham, as they referred to him, said this and said that and said the other. He was against the Jews. He was anti this. And you think, come on, people, what in the world are you doing? But you understand why it works? Because it raises up a question mark in people's minds. Now, Moses, he goes on in verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest thine own self. Truth, 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 truth. Verse 14, and the Lord repented. Well, the Bible don't say nothing about the people repenting. It must have been the Lord that's all messed up there. The Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount. And the two tables of testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. One on the one side and one on the other. They written. The tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, this is a noise of war in the camp. He said, this is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome. But the noise is them, the sing do I hear. Now what am I doing? Truths, 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 truths. So what's the problem? Truths, 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 truths left out. Well, glory. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf. Okay, now up so far to where we've read, you haven't heard anything about a calf. Because I conveniently left that out. Okay, now you're hearing this for your first time. Okay, you haven't read the book of Exodus before, so you don't know what's in it. So now you are hearing about the calf. Okay, the time it comes from Sister Susie over to Brother So-and-so and goes to So-and-so, then time it hits Facebook, then times it going to YouTube. This was actually that Brother Yoshibek had a calf to get out of his barn. And when Moses come off the mountain, he saw the calf out in the front yard. And Moses got mad and horned and threw the tablets down and broke them. I just wonder, friends, how many of us have told such trash? You know why? Because we hear one side of a story. And you make your judgment. We've accepted accusations against one another. We've accepted accusations against preachers. We've accepted accusations against all kinds of people based upon a one-sided deal. And then we wonder why we ain't no closer to God. Oh my. Now this is your first introduction to the calf. So Moses comes nigh and he sees the calf guy of the barn. And the dancing, and Moses' anger got hot, waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands. So far we've seen God's anger and Moses' anger, and we're not real sure why they're mad except for the cow got out of that barn. Now let's just leave out one verse here, okay? Just one verse. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee? So now Moses is rebuking Aaron. We're not even sure why, because I didn't read to you the verse that Aaron made gods. I left that out of the story. So we see an angry man, a prophet, who threw the tablets down. We see that same angry man jumping on his brother who's totally innocent of anything. God forgive us. Do you understand, according to the law of Israel, if a person give a false witness against a brother, not a preacher, just a brother, they could take them outside the city and stone them. Some of the same sins for adultery, homosexuality, and other things. Friends, I don't think we take our words serious enough. I don't think we take when we repeat things and say things, whether it's on Facebook or private conversation, I don't think we take it serious enough. How many rumors and lies have we spread on one another, on other churches or other people, because we took so-and-so's word for it? Well, I'm a preacher whether you say amen or not. I ain't offering a nickel for amen tonight because somebody billed me the other day and said they said 55, so I owe for that. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought such a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people. They are set on mischief. What mischief? The calf got out of the barn. Remember, I've not told you nothing about idols. I've not told you nothing about Aaron making no God. Mama. Verse 25. And when Moses saw the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame. I'm convinced God, Moses, and Aaron are the whole problem. God getting mad, Moses getting mad, Aaron will make them strip off naked. These people are totally innocent. But somehow or another, you folks don't seem to believe that. And why don't you? Because you know both sides of the story. You read verse 4 and 5, verse 7 and 8, verse 22 and 23. So, you see, whenever we as the people of God, oh my, it's so easy for us, if we're not careful, we'll look out here to the world and we think, my, every one of them is going to hell. No, they're not everyone going to hell. Based upon what you and I know as message people compare them to us, yeah, that looks absolutely impossible for them. But remember, God will put them and make them answer for what they know, not what you know. And people will do that. Why? Because they're not taking the whole story together and saying there is a wise virgin and a foolish virgin. And foolish virgin can never be wise even if they wanted to be. Oh my. Now let's read verse 26 again. In this light. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Let every man put his sword by his side, go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother and every man his companion. For what? The calf got out of the barn. The people were naked, yeah, but Aaron made them naked. The Bible said he did. And when they go to kill and the people, Aaron escapes it. Can't you see, friends, how that we can even take truth and how we put that truth together? It can so affect. And sometimes you don't have to even tell a lie. It's what you leave out that changes the entire story. Oh my, is this the truth or not? Now watch, let's return to the story now in verse 28. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Now based upon what you know, what you previously have read and what's been previously preached to you over the years, do you think this judgment is unjust? Do you think this penalty is too severe? Do you think God was right, Moses was right, and the Levites were right? Somebody please answer me. You think it was right? Based upon what? Knowing verse 7 and 8, verse 3, verse 22, verse... So taking all of that together, I'm looking at it, and then when you look at the severity of the punishment, you say, it's a wonder to me that there wasn't a whole lot more killed than what there was. Why? Because once we see it, then it makes perfect sense. And when folks are trying to understand about God and say, oh, a loving God will never keep people out of heaven, basically anybody that wants to go. If they don't understand about Jesus and they're heathen, they can go on anyhow. Why do they do that? Because they're leaving part of the other verses of God's character out of the entire gospel story. And they're remaking that God into an old soft, doughty grandpa that'll let Muslims and, you know, Sikhs and Jains and Buddhists and whatever come in and deny the Lord Jesus. No, I'm sorry. There is only one way, and that's through the door, Jesus Christ. And I don't have to apologize for that. I don't care what's politically correct or not. It is the truth. Oh my, the severity of the punishment corresponded with what? With what they had done in breaking the word of God. But yet you imagine now if an Israeli guy was heading out of there, and my, he was fleeing the country and going down to Assyria somewhere, and my, he said, God, what in the world's the matter with you, buddy? Oh, you'd not believe it. Our prophet back there, our prophet has turned on us. He's told the people to kill their own people. You can imagine that Assyrian saying, what? Yes, sir, it's the truth. That prophet back there is supposed to be a prophet of God. And he's telling them Levi people, his own brothers. You know what they done? His brother made that God and they let him live. And they're killing innocent people back there. Can you imagine what that guy would tell? My. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Every man. I want you to listen to this, and I do hope you understand it. Their consecration to God was if they found their son guilty. Their consecration to God was if they found their brother, their mother, their father. If they found them guilty, they would kill them. What a thing to consecrate yourself to God. Why? It proves whether or not you love Him. Brother, sister, we know how it is when it comes to family. Boy, a lot of folks, I'm telling you what, if Brother Terry Horn needs a rebuke, Brother Donnie, lay it on him. But if they need it, rebuke Brother David. I mean, exhort him. And when it comes for them to be rebuked, that's a total different story. My, my. Well, friends, it's very simple. If we're on the Lord's side, prove it. Prove it. Prove it. We're not secret believers. We're not going to hide up here on the hill. Oh my, we're not going to let nobody believe because they might raise a persecution against us. Oh my, we'll cut out all tapes. We'll cut out all websites. We'll do it. We won't hand out no tracts, no books, and we'll mask all of our sermons. We'll preach it in code. I'll start preaching in code and everybody will get one of my sermon notes and y'all will get a code. And whenever I read the code, it'll throw a pair of one thing, but y'all will have the code. I am not going to do such nonsense. I'm going to preach the word without fear or compromise. If they shut us down, so be it. I'm not trying to be a fool or an idiot, but look, I want people to know whose side I'm on. Do you all? Oh my. Notice verse 30. Now this day, which this is happening, is, according to the Jewish writers, the 17th day of Tammuz, or June, which day the Jews kept a feast. In verse 30 it says, it came to pass on the morrow, which would be the 18th day of Tammuz, that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin. And now, Lord, I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure. I shall make an atonement for your sin. He is not even sure that God will forgive him. So he says, peradventure. In other words, I'll try. I'll try. You have sinned a great sin. He's not minimizing it. You understand? The idolatry was a violation of the commandment that God said, thou shalt make no graven image or similitude or likeness unto me or of any heavenly being. Any star, the moon, the sun, whatever it was. And this is what the calf was. It was a visible image of the invisible God. That was reserved for Jesus. Glory! Don't you see what idolatry was doing? It was taking the place of Jesus. God said, I'll have a visible image, but it will be when I make it, not when man makes it. So when they made this calf, they were, as Aaron said, these be thy Elohim, O Israel. So he was giving to God, the invisible God, a visible image. And when he crafted it, it didn't look like a man. It didn't even look like an angel. It looked like a calf. Oh my. Now look, friends, they are not going to denounce Jehovah. Because Aaron said, tomorrow we'll have a feast of the Lord, which is Yahweh, Jehovah. They were not denouncing the Lord. They were just saying, we need a visible image of something that we can see. And God said, no, you don't need that. Oh my, but now Moses, no doubt the people don't even see it. They don't even recognize how severe this is. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said to the people, you have sinned a great sin. Now will I go up unto the Lord, peradventure. I shall make an atonement for your sin. Now this is a man that knows where he stands with God. I want you to notice he is not taking a lamb, a turtle dove, nor a pigeon. He's not taking a bullock. What he's going to offer God is himself. Hallelujah. I shall make an atonement for your sin. But the Lord said, the sin of this people is so great. Moses knew he had favor with God, divine favor. And he knew that God stayed praise and God moved for his brother. And God done all kinds of things on his behalf. And he said, I don't know of an animal I can offer. I don't know of an atonement that I can make, so I'll give myself.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. There was only one thing that he could suggest that God might be appeased by. And that was himself. Notice this in Exodus 32, verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. God is so angry and so upset that Moses goes up to pray. And he tells God, God, if you won't forgive him, then blot me out of your book. I'll offer myself. And if you won't forgive them, then I don't even want to go. Lord have mercy. Notice in verse 34, Now therefore go lead the people into the place which I've spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I shall visit their sin upon them. Do you understand what's being said here? The term Malachi, which is used, Exodus 14, 19, also 23, 20 to 23, an application to the revealing angel, Yahweh. God is now saying to them, because of what they've done, I won't go with them anymore. But I'll send an angel to go with you. They have sinned so great. They have broken my covenant so severe. I cannot stand to walk among them. So I will send a lesser being than myself. Lord, children, to me there ain't nothing we could lose that would be any greater. You think what a terrible thing it'd be, most of us who have sight here in this place tonight, for us to get up tomorrow and our sight be gone in one eye or in two. You think to be deprived the rest of your life of your sight, Lord, how awful that'd be. Or if you had a stroke in the night and you get up tomorrow and you got a paralysis in your hand and you were left-handed and you can no longer write, you can no longer move. You think, Lord, what a terrible thing to lose. Your wife dies in the night. A baby dies in the night. You lose your job. You lose your money. The economy collapses. All those things would be awful. But none of them would compare to losing the presence of God. Can you imagine now God is saying unto them, this has crossed the line. I cannot any longer walk among them. This penalty, what they have done, it is so severe that my answer to their sin is I cannot walk among them. So I will send an angel. But mine angel will not go. Me. Oh my. Notice in Exodus 33 too. I will send an angel before thee. And I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Notice in verse 3, into a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Do you understand what this is doing? These people are making God so angry and so upset that God said, for your safety, I won't walk among you. Because I know how you are. I know you're stiff-necked, you're hard-hearted, I know how you are, and if this happens again, I may move upon you and destroy you. So I will send an angel, an inferior angel, one who is not the fullness of deity. I will let him walk with you.
Hallelujah. But when Moses hears this, Brother David, it tears it into pieces. So the Bible says Moses took the tent and he moved it beyond the camp. Is the breaking of the commandments signifying the fleeing presence of the Almighty God from the camp of Israel? So the moving of the tabernacle. Now remember, this is not the tent that God's going to give the vision by, but it was a place that they had set aside where Moses would meet with the people and go and pray with God. And Moses moves this tent outside the people, signifying again the presence of God is moved from you. But by faith, he named it the tabernacle of the congregation. Somehow he just couldn't keep from believing that he could have this pull on God's heart. He didn't call it the tabernacle of Moses or the tabernacle of God, but he called it the tabernacle of the people God was mad at. Why? He was an intercessor. An intercessor. He goes in before the presence of God and begins to cry and pray into the presence of God. He begins to offer himself. And the presence of God comes in the tabernacle of the congregation. And God tells him, I will go with you. I will go with you. I imagine he tore that tent down. If they shout in them days, I imagine he had a spell, Brother David, like you ain't never seen in your life. The people probably didn't understand it. They probably didn't understand the difference of God saying him and his angel. They didn't comprehend it, but Moses knew God. Don't you understand? This is what leads up to God putting Moses in the cleft of the rock. This is what leads up to that spot when Moses had to have that assurance. God, I've got to know, are you going to go with us or not? He said, come here. There's a place by me here. Hallelujah. You talking about assurance. Oh, I feel the same way tonight. If he don't go with us, I can't go. Can you? Oh, no. I can't live in this age without him. Take my house. Take my car. Take everything I've got. But don't never let me lose his presence. Hallelujah. And God, once again, God makes this pronouncement. I will not go. But this prophet of the age has such power with God that he can speak to God and God will say, I will go with you. I will go. And he said, Lord, if you're going to go, and you called us to do this, would you show me now your glory? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my children, don't you appreciate God's love and grace to us? How many times have we, even after we got saved, when the wrath of God would be so upset at us, when we deal with things wrong and take things wrong and say things wrong, treat people wrong, and the wrath of God would break forth on us, but we don't have a Moses in the tabernacle. We've got a Jesus. Praise be to God. And many times where the wrath of God fell upon us because of our unbelief and our shortcomings and all that sort of thing. But God can't take you as long as you're in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that His mercy extends beyond all of our faults? Let's bow our heads together if you would. Oh, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that you would help us. Lord, first of all, I want to ask you for myself, if I have ever, and I'm sure I have, received anything against anyone based upon half of the story. And certain truths are left out of that story.
that would have totally changed my view. I ask you to forgive me. If I've made wrong judgments, if I've made remarks about anyone, I pray that you'd forgive me, Lord. And I ask not only for myself, but I pray for everyone here tonight. Forgive us, Lord, for receiving things against one another. Forgive us, Lord, for believing things that wasn't even true. Maybe promoting things to other people in the church. Lord, help us. Help us to have our minds and our mouths and just washed clean from the things of the world. Lord Jesus, help us to realize that a gossiping tongue and all that it's as worldly as any of the rest of the stuff. Help us, Father, to think on those things which are lovely and pure and holy and righteous, those things which are uplifting, dear God, edifying. Lord Jesus, I ask tonight, may we take this series and learn, Lord, from the lives of these great people. Lord, I thank you for allowing their faults and their mistakes to be written there. Moses, as great a man as he was, yet the prophet tells us his besetting sin was his temper. We see it displayed over and over again. Yet, we see, despite his anger, he'd turn around and stand there and pray. And it would so move your being. Hallelujah. It would move your being that you would say, I will go with you. Lord Jesus, help us to find our place. Help us to stand with you, Lord, in this age. Truly, it's never been easy to stand for truth. But Lord, as the darkness is pressing more and more and more, and the light is shining less and less and less, truly, it's harder and harder in this day. But we believe there is a people around the world who will stand for this light and this truth. Amen. We want to be on the Lord's side. That don't make us hate nobody, Lord. That don't make us want to kill nobody. We're in a different warfare now. We don't go around killing people and trying to berate people and all that sort of thing. Lord, but it's to stand against sin. And if I see a spirit get on my brother or sister, I will rebuke that. I'm obligated by the Word of God to do so. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as your people. That we, Lord, can fall in love with you more than ever before. Amen. The scripture says, they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. And it lets me know one reason people are so easily offended, because they're not in love with you enough. If they was really in love with you, it would take a bunch to really offend them. But if we got our feelings on our shoulder, and we're living in such a day that it seems like people just walking around with feelings on their shoulders, Lord, help us to grow. Help us to be more mature, Father. Lord Jesus, we love you. We worship you tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who's on the Lord's side tonight? I don't ask you to come stand with me now. I ask you to come stand with this word. Don't come stand with me, because then if I die, you're in a heap of trouble. As long as I'm preaching the truth, you stand there. You'll be safe. As long as I'm preaching the truth. But don't stand with me if I leave the word. But make sure it is the word that I've left and it's not your opinion. Praise the Lord. The reason Moses could stand that, because he knew he was standing right on the promise of God. So he and the word were the same. Right? And they were willing to do it. It was painful. It was difficult. But they were willing to take their stand for the word. Oh my. And you know what God did after this? God gave these Levites the right to pack the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the materials. This stand for the word of God. God rewarded them above all their brothers because of the stand they took was above their brothers. If you want to be blessed, brother, sister, stand for what's right. Don't try to go out now and become a martyr and look to be, you know, something, as we are led of God is the way we stand. But you stand for God, and God will stand for you. That's right. And truth will always be proven right. Ain't that right? Now, God did not make this promise. I'll tell you what, I'll give you the priesthood. I'll let you pack the tabernacle. I'll let you do this and this and this and this if you do this. He never said that. He just said, consecrate yourself, sanctify yourself, and the Lord's going to bless you. Well, they didn't have no idea what that was. But they stood up for God, did something very painful, very difficult, and look what God gave them back in return. Let's sing the song we've been singing for the last few services, Who is on the Lord's Side. Can we sing it together just a little bit before we go? Praise be to God. Try and tell somebody, by God's help and grace, I'm on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Amen. Who is on the Lord's side among you? Side of the right. Everybody, oh, tell me who is on the Lord's side among you. Who will help us join in this fight of the evening light? Oh, who is on the Lord's side among you? Side of the right. Amen. Oh, tell me who is on. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Help us join in the fight. Who is on the Lord's side among you? Now let's change you around and make it personal. I'm on the Lord's side among you. Oh, I am on the Lord's side among you. I will help you join in your fight if you let me. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your work tonight, Lord. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us to realize what a great thing it is to be standing in the light of the day on your side. I count it such an honor. Lord, and we realize the little things that we go through in this life, the little laughings and the ridicule and being made fun of by the world, and they don't understand why we dress a certain way or preach a certain way or why we would look a certain way. Lord Jesus, we with grace will bear that shame, that humiliation, knowing it's such a small thing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us at that day. Lord, when the change comes upon the earth, and all of a sudden a sweeps around this world, quickening power. And the bride, one by one by one. Lord, as I had a dream about it many years ago, and I was standing right here in this building, and had finished the service, and walked out in the vestibule, shaking hands with one of the brothers that's standing right here tonight before me. And as we were standing there talking, I shook his hand, and I watched his hand changed, and it run up his arm. And I seen him materializing into another body.
Me and Brother Ron, Brother Tim, some of us preachers were sitting down in Texas a few weeks ago, Lord, talking. And Brother Ron told about a dream that he had had. And he's standing outside, and it's almost the same thing. I told him, I said, that's amazing. I had a dream almost identical that same way. Lord, we know we don't base our salvation on dreams. But Lord, I believe you're just making it real to us that the hour is upon us. Then Lord, Satan will do everything he can to try to slow us down. Oh Lord, but keep us clean. Keep us pure, Lord Jesus. I think one of the greatest challenges and battles we'll have, Lord, is keeping our heart, our attitudes right. Keeping free from bitterness, free from hatred, free from variance and strife, because we know that grieves the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham said, no matter what anybody does against us, don't never hold nothing in our heart against them, because it will grieve the Holy Spirit away from us, which is amazing. The other person done us wrong, but if we hold a grudge, it'll grieve the Holy Ghost away from us. Help me, Lord, that I can forgive. Lord, you know many times I forgive, and I wasn't even in the wrong. But I forgive and ask for forgiveness when I knew I was 100% right. But I've done it to try to help or heal, or even, Lord, so that myself, it would keep me down to know I'm not beneath it. Help us each one, Lord. Oh, we're not just worried about conquering the world out here, emptying out hospitals. God, if I can conquer these 16 elements that make up this body, I figure I'll be controlling nature pretty good. I've tried speaking to storms. I've tried calming storms and thunder and lightning and all that sort of thing. I ain't never had great success with it, Lord. But if I can bring these 16 elements right here under control, I figure I'll be called a conqueror, an overcomer in this day. Grant it, Lord Jesus. I believe I'm preaching to some people tonight that will reach exactly that ultimate place of victory. Go with us now, Lord. Bring us back this weekend if it be pleasing to your Father. Speak to us once again from your word, we ask, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You love him, saints.
Amen.
You love one another.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love you too with all my heart. Let's sing it together as we go in the fear of God. I love you. Remember, the Bible school starts Monday night, I think Brother Michael told me. There is so much effort put forth in all these things that happen. I realize that most of you that don't go work at it and do all of that, but whenever you go visit those things, don't just walk in and ooh and awe, but find some of the people, if you can, that's done it and tell them how you appreciate it.
Amen.
They don't get paid for it. It's not like that they're making some kind of something, but they're doing it for your children. They're doing something that'll be a benefit to our kids. We ought to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Amen. When you go in the library and you see Brother Jim sitting behind the desk, or these other brothers, I want a tape, I want this, I want that. Every now and then, drop him a little thank you. Brother Jim, I want to let you know I love you. These deacon brothers, oh, I know they get on your kids. Hey, sit down over there. Hey, you quit that. Hey, you quit that. You know, you say, I don't like that, deacon. You ought to thank God for these deacon brothers. That's right.
Amen.
Catch Brother Louie every now and then. Catch these musician brothers. Catch these people that run the PA system. Do you understand what it is for them to forfeit service after service? Brothers that's upstairs in the booths up there, you never even see them. But if they wasn't there, people around the world would not be hearing this service tonight. Oh my.
Amen.
And then when you get all them reached, just tell one another you love one another. I appreciate you. And don't say it like East Tennessee people say it. I appreciate you. I went to the bank yesterday to get some money broke up for graduation cards, and the lady said, I appreciate you. And I thought, how can you? You don't even really know me. If you knew who I was and what I stood for, I'm not sure that you'd say the same thing. She probably does know me, probably in reality. But it's a custom around here. And I appreciate it. No, let's not make it that way. When we say it, mean it. I appreciate you. Listen, children, I appreciate you. That ain't from East Tennessee. That's from my heart. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your amens. I appreciate your attendance. I mean that with all of my heart. I want to spend eternity with you folks. I don't want any of you missing. Brother Harold, I don't want you missing, buddy. Sister Sarah. Brother Bird, I appreciate you too, Brother Kelly. Brother, sister, none of you, we want to be there, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's just plan on it then.
Yes,
hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I go talking that way, I get sentimental. Let's go. Who is
is on the Lord's side among you. God bless you, saints.